Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Christmas is notoriously a season of cheer and joy and celebration, but for many it's a time of heaviness and regret or sorrow. Well, today we hope to encourage your heart by lifting your focus back to the Word of God and to the blessings of the season. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, the blessings of the season. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and we hope that you are walking through every step of this special holiday season with your eyes on Jesus Christ and your worship and affection looking towards Him. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study a series entitled The Blessings of the Season. We hope that if this is a time of sorrow or heaviness or hardship for you or those you love, we hope that today's message will lift your heart back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the promises of His Word. Today, the blessings of the season. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell can be heard on this station at this time every Monday through Friday, and we hope that you'll walk through God's Word with us even into the new year. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to understand the majestic gift of Christmas. Here's Pastor Chappell.
And verse 11 declares, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And then notice it says in verse 11, "Which is Christ the Lord." Christ the Lord, the person that fulfilled this prophecy, was none other than Christ the Lord. And here we see the term Christ the Lord reminding us that He is the anointed one that has come down for the purpose of saving the world. Colossians 2 and verse 9 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And so the essence of the announcement, "For unto you a Savior is born." The announcement of the angel was a majestic announcement concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And the Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved." It was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that was announced by the angel. But notice secondly with me this morning, not only the announcement of the angel, but notice the adoration of the heavenly host. It's as if the angelic choirs join in now with an army of angels announcing that Jesus Christ is born. Notice in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now on earth, a few common shepherds. On earth, Mary and Joseph surrounded by some angels, by some animals, and just a humble sight. But the heavens are now declaring that what was happening here was truly a majestic event, truly a great life-changing, world-changing event was about to take place and had just taken place. Here we see the description of the host in verse 13, and the Bible speaks of them. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying." Notice the description of this host, if you would. They are described as a multitude, an army of angels singing praise to God. And this multitude of heavenly host had now descended from on high to honor and praise the Prince of Peace and to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, they will be singing praise to Him throughout all of eternity. Sometimes I get around Christians and they don't like to sing or they don't like to say amen. Did you know you're going to do both up in heaven? I mean, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just going to kind of come out, folks, and we're going to want to sing, and we're going to want to agree a lot, and you might as well get in the habit of that on planet Earth, amen? Just thanking God for what He's done and agreeing with God. And the Bible says that in Revelation 5 and verse 11, as John the Revelator prophesied, he said, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" They're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." And so as it was when Jesus came down to Bethlehem, they were singing and praising God, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and for all of eternity, worthy is the Lamb that was slain." We had a few nights ago in this Christmas season, the college choir sang a beautiful medley of songs for us on a Wednesday night. And as they came down to the end of their Christmas presentation, they began to sing the Hallelujah Chorus, Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. And when they sing that chorus, it's the tradition of those who hear the chorus to stand and to give reverence as the song is sung. And so our congregation stood, and someone asked me, "What's the history of that?" And I did a little checking to make sure on the tradition of standing, but it goes all the way back to the very first performance of Handel's Messiah as it was presented in London. And as it was presented before a royal audience, the music was building and building, and Christ was being honored and glorified. And King George II was there. And as the first notes of the triumphant Hallelujah Chorus rang out, and as the thought of the words and the thought behind this great chorus were resonating in the heart of the king himself stood in honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in honor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And ladies and gentlemen, if the King were to walk in, or the Queen from England walk in today, I believe it may be protocol for us to stand in her honor. But do you understand that when the King heard the Messiah sung, his response was to stand in honor, because he recognized the one that was being lifted up was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Hallelujah Chorus places Christ as the King of Kings. And so the description of the host, "Glory to God in the highest," he says. And what a tremendous, tremendous description and praise that is. But notice the declaration in particular in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We see this large host of angels as they begin singing, and specifically singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, back in 27 BC, the Roman government had made a peace treaty, if you will, or a Roman peace. It was called Pax Romana. And this was their edict, that the world would have peace. Now, the world was going to have peace their way under the fist of iron of the Romans. But now, this kind of peace was the inner peace that came by the presence of God in someone's life. And when men become reconciled to God, though they have sinned, yet through God's presence and because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away, and we can have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, listen, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that the host of angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," is because they knew that Jesus Christ, first, was the King of Kings. Secondly, He was the giver of peace, the forgiver of sin, and the one who would provide an eternal peace for all who believe. And so this was why the heavenly host was adoring Him and lauding Him and praising Him, because He came to give peace. And the question is, do you have that peace this morning? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? Many are turning here and there, and many are trusting in themselves or in nothing at all. But my friends, this season must cause every one of us to ponder, who is this babe laying in the manger? Is he, after all, who the angels said he was? Is he who the Bible says he is? And the answer is yes, he is the giver of peace. He is the Son of God. And so the announcement of the angel came, and it was a frightening moment, and then a stilling and a quieting moment. And then as the shepherds perhaps were listening and settling in their spirits, suddenly an army of angels burst out in praise and singing glory to God in the highest. Well, you would imagine that if that happened in your life, it might be a life-changing event. How many of you would agree with me? If you saw a host of angels giving you this, it might affect you slightly, all right? Now, some Baptists, it wouldn't. They'd say, wow, look at all the angels. Let's go to Hometown Buffet, you know, and just kind of back onto their normal routine, you know. But I submit to you that news like this, given in this manner, is a life-changing event. And I want you to see how it affected the shepherds, okay? Look in verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, this announcement is going to bring about a response in their life. How many of you remember when you first got saved? It's good to go back there in your mind. It's good to go back in your heart to certain times of revival meetings or times where God was greatly working in your heart. And just refresh in your heart the greatness of God. Because oftentimes our belief affects our behavior. And in this instance, their belief concerning the message is going to affect and change the behavior of their life. In other words, if you really honestly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then there's something that's going to change in the way you live every day. Now notice some things here in the Word of God. First, I want you to see their pursuit for Christ. As soon as they heard this message, the Bible tells us in verse number 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. They said, hey, we have got to go see the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go get close to Him. Let's go see the Christ child. Psalm 105 and verse 3 says, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Psalm 111 and verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. What is it that you are seeking this morning? What is it that you are seeking this week? Perhaps someone would say, I'm hoping to get some time with my kids this week. And that's a wonderful thing. I'm hoping this week to see some relatives. I'm hoping maybe to see one of my grandchildren. I'm hoping to just have some rest this week. Some children might say they're hoping for a particular gift this week. And all these things are okay, and they're fine, and they're the blessings of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. We understand that. But there was one thing the shepherds wanted more than anything this morning. That was to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you as a Christian today that this week would be a sweet week for you with the Bible open and in prayer and just getting close to the Lord. Just really seeking Him. Because when the shepherds heard this news, they said one to another, let's get to Bethlehem. Let's pursue after Christ. And what a great week to draw nearer and nearer unto Him. What is it that you are pursuing? Many will pursue the material this week, no doubt. While working as a mall Santa, there was a man who often would tell children that they were going to get certain types of gifts. And many children asked for particular gifts. One little boy was on his lap and he said, Santa, he said, I would really like to have a train for Christmas. And the man would always say the same thing. He said, well, now you know that if you get a train for Christmas, you're going to have to share that with your daddy. He'd say that every single time. And the usual answer was, yes, that'll be okay, Santa. And so he said to this young boy, he said, now you know if you get a train, you're going to have to share that with your daddy. And the little boy didn't say much else. And so the fellow was trying to move the conversation along. And he said, now, is there anything else you want for Christmas? And the little boy looked him right in the eye and he said, yes, another train. he wanted that train. He wanted that train all for himself. Now, my friend, I don't know what you want this week, but I'm just saying that above all else, if you have come face to face with the truth of who Jesus is and with the fact that we are sojourners in this world and that nothing matters more in this world than the eternal, then above all else, our desire should be to draw closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and to seek His face this week. Oh, listen, friend, don't delay. Someone said all delays are dangerous. But he who delays to seek Jesus, when the angels, the messengers of God, bring him glad tidings of salvation, risks his present safety and his eternal happiness. And I say to you this morning, and I ask your attention, that if there is one person in this room that is not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you do not know that if you died, heaven would be your home and that your sins are forgiven, then I challenge you today, don't wait, don't delay, don't wait for another day. Today is the day of salvation, and seek Him while He may be found, my friend. Follow the example of the shepherds who said, we've got to get to Bethlehem. We have got to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They pursued Christ, but notice secondly, they praised Christ. The Bible tells us in verse 17, and this is a beautiful verse. Verse 16 says, when they came with haste and they saw and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And what a sight. But notice verse 17, the Bible says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now the shepherds made Christ known. When they had seen it, here we see not just a visible sight, but they in seeing perceived and understood that what had been told of the angels was in fact very much the Word of God. And when they saw it, they made known whom they had seen. Psalm 66, 16, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. You see, if you today are a born-again Christian, and you can find yourself in the midst of unsaved friends, and you can find yourself around people who do not know the Lord and say nothing, then I think it's time for you, my friend, to get back to the manger, or even better than that, back to the cross and get affixed again on who Jesus is and on what He did. Because listen to me, while we live in America and the fastest growing religion is Islam and the fastest social cause, so-called civil rights cause, which I do not conceive it that way, but some today are celebrating the advancement of the homosexual movement and a nation in which my children and grandchildren and many of your children and grandchildren will be raised. While these causes, listen, are flooding American streets, it is time that Christians would do what the shepherds did and get out and say, for unto us a child is born, a Savior is given. Oh, listen, this is time for God's people to declare Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is the way and the truth and the life. And oh, how they glorified God. The Bible says in verse number 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Listen, Psalm 107 and verse 15 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Would you say that with me? Look at that verse there. Psalm 107, 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. How many of you believe that God is good this morning? The psalmist says, you know, why don't men just praise Him for His goodness? And I share with you this morning that this week we need to be like these shepherds. We need to get to Christ and adore Him. And certainly we'll do that tonight and in our devotions this week and in our Friday night service. But as we're adoring Him, then like the shepherds, let us go out and praise Him and tell others what He has done for us. John 20 and 21, Jesus said, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." It may be that you have to make some extra effort to share the good news this week. It might be uncomfortable to talk to your unsaved relatives about Christ. It might be that some of you are going a distance to see some of these people. Years ago, an Indian man walked many miles to give a gift to the Lord for all that Jesus had done for him. This Native American man, he came to the missionary, and the missionary was standing there, and the Indian man came and presented the gift for the Lord's work, and the missionary marveled at how far the man had walked to bring that offering. He had walked many, many miles and now presented the offering, and the missionary said, I'm amazed at how far you traveled. And the Indian said this, "Long walk, part of gift. Long walk, part of gift." I want to encourage you that no matter what it takes to get the gift of the gospel message to someone this week, if God puts that on your heart, be willing to pay that price, like the shepherds did. Whatever it takes to let others know about the Lord Jesus Christ. As we close this morning, would you look at verse 19? What a wonderful verse indeed. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Would you say that with me? "But Mary kept all these things." Helen Keller said, "The only blind person at Christmas time is he who has not Christmas in his heart." And here Mary pondered all these things in her heart. I believe that this morning every one of us have some things worth pondering in our hearts. I believe we need to just take some time today to thank the Lord. If the heavens would declare it, if the angels would sing it, if Gabriel would announce it, if the glory of the Lord would come upon them, don't you think it's worthy of our ponderance this morning and of our praise this morning, thanking God for what He has done? Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You today for this majestic birth and for the way it was announced, Lord, not with a card, not with a photograph, but with the angels of heaven singing, praising. And Lord, when the shepherds got a hold of this truth, it changed their perspective on life. It changed their priorities in life. And I pray that our perspective and our priorities would be affected by the truth of Christmas. Lord, we ask today that You would speak to our hearts and stir our hearts. May we not be this type of Christian that is unmoved by the glory of the Lord, but may we be moved and stirred. And I pray that if there is someone here today that has not received the gift of salvation, that they would hear that this good news is for all men and that they might receive it today.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the blessings of this Christmas season. And probably the greatest blessing of all would be for you to receive God's gift to you. Lots of gift giving during this time of year, but the greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of a Savior through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize what He did for you on the cross, to lay aside everything that you're trusting and to trust Him alone as your Savior. Friend, we invite you to bow your head and heart and make this simple decision of faith. Invite Jesus Christ into your life right now to be your Savior. It's a decision you will never regret. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chappell and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. www.drchappell.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chappell's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox, every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chappell, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from on board a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.